It's time to come together for Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, Wednesday, August 15th through Saturday, August 18th. Our convocation speakers will be Pastor Delzora Terrell on Wednesday, Bishop John Edmondson on Thursday, and our very own Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. on Friday. Services begin at 7 p.m. nightly, preceded by prayer at 6 p.m. Workshops will be held Wednesday through Friday, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. in the prayer chapel. Dinner will be served immediately after classes nightly. Registration is required for each workshop session. On Saturday, August 18th, there will be a special time for teens during the Teen Live Service, which will feature giveaways, gospel recording artist Jermaine Dolly, and a relevant word presented by Reverend Darren Harley of the Lighthouse of Deliverance Gospel Church. Dinner will be served after the Teen Live Service. Parents, encourage your teens to be here for this dynamic time of worship and fellowship. It's Holy Convocation 2018. Moving forward, August 15th through August 18th. Come and experience the power of God. We hope to see you there.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I believe God for a miracle.
Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35, a new commandment I give you. How many commandments are there? 11. A new commandment I give you. What? That you love one another. And what is the qualifier? As I have loved you, that you also love one another. How did Jesus love them? The Bible says in John 13 at the beginning, he loved them till the end. Love never quits. You don't get tired of people and stop loving them. Oh, I don't have nothing to do with them no more. Then you never love them. Because love never quits. When love is real, no matter what they do, you love them. The best identifier we have of that kind of love is the love of a mother. No matter how rotten her son turns out, everybody else is telling her, cut off your son, cut off your son. He ain't no good. She said, but that's my baby. He's 52 years old, but that's my baby. And the mother gives that child a modicum of love that everyone else wonders. Well, that's God. God will love you when you're drunk, sober. God will love you when you're up, when you're down. In fact, Paul tries to summarize in Romans chapter 8. He said, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing can keep God from loving me. And yet you and I are pressed to demonstrate that kind of love. But what's your model? What's your pattern for that love? We have none. To the woman who lives in an abusive relationship with a man, physically hits you, and you get to that third stage where you defend him. Well, he didn't mean it. He'll be all right. I must have did something to make him do it. You are incapable of loving that man. You are incapable of loving the abuser until you love yourself enough to get out of an abusive relationship. You can love him after you leave. You can love him after you leave. You can't heal a black eye when you keep getting punched in it. But you got to love yourself enough and say, let me tell you something. I've had enough of this. I'm out of here. Where you going, baby? I didn't mean it. Okay, fine. But I'm going to love you from across town. And I ain't telling you where I'm going because I love myself enough. And in order for me to love God, I've got to love me. And if I don't love me, I can't love you. And if I don't love you, I can't love God. We think that love means I lay down and take it. We've been deceived into thinking that love is having somebody come up and pour water on us and we thank God that it's raining. No. Love isn't laying down and letting people walk on you. Love isn't giving someone a stick to abuse you. Love isn't opening your heart and letting someone come and rip it out. You don't find love on a two-way street and lose it on a lonely highway. And contrary to the great Lou Rawls, love is not a hurting thing. For every little kiss, there's a little teardrop. He's a liar. Love is not hurting. Let me move on. I didn't preach myself happy. Jesus sat there in Mark chapter 12 and had preached a beautiful sermon. And at the end of the sermon, the man does not come up to him to ask him a deep philosophical, theological question. The man says to him, of all the commandments that we have, of all the laws that we observe, please tell me which one is the most significant. I need to know which one is the one that God wants me to observe. And Jesus said, first, hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love him with all the heart, the mind, the soul, and the strength. He said, and the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Jesus looked at that man and said, after the man got into a conversation with him and said that this was important, Jesus looks at him and said, you're not far from eternal life. Wait a minute. Hold it. Now this is for you Bible thumpers. The man didn't say he repented of sin. The man did not say, I'm a sinner, be merciful unto me. He said, to love your fellow man is the chief commandment of all. And Jesus said, you're not far from eternal life. So what is it that saves us? Is it your confession? No, it's love that saves us. It is the love of God and then us returning that love out of obedience. You see, anybody can get up and mouth a few words. And see, we say and do things out of habit. And we say, I make you the Lord of my life. You don't make Jesus Lord. God made him Lord. You surrender to his Lordship. Because if you make him Lord, you can unmake him. But Jesus Christ is Lord because God said so. And whether you acknowledge him as Lord now or not is not the issue. One day you will acknowledge, for every knee shall bow. So why not practice now? Well, I got arthritis. Then stand and acknowledge him. But if you love him, you're going to love his people. But again, what's the hard thing? The hard thing is understanding what love is. We don't know what it is. And God says, let me help you. So he has Paul write 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He writes this great description, I'll say, of love. He tries to communicate some very significant points about love. He says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I just make a lot of noise. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and I don't have love, I make a lot of noise. You'll be heard, but there'll be no power behind it. It is not the validity of prophecy from God's mouth to your mind and out of your mouth. No, the validity of prophecy is, do you love me while you're doing it? How do you prophesy to me and don't speak to me? How do you prophesy to anyone and then accuse your brothers of something that you cannot prove? God is not in the business of revealing the lives of his children to other people. So how dare you assume that God is going to show you my secret places unless you have a position of accountability over me? Why would God show you my problems when there's a whole closet full in your house? It would seem to me that if the angel wanted to start exposing lives, he would start with the person that he's telling. How can you give marriage counseling and you're not married? There's only one person that could do that, and that's God. God and Jesus are the only ones that can tell you what to do when you're married. Neither one of them ever been married. Jesus could never have been married. Can you imagine his wife? Where you been? Well, I was out with Peter and James and John. Yeah? Who's Mary Magdalene? And who was it that was down at your feet washing your feet with her hair? Now, I rub those feet. There ain't going to be none of that. I know that little hussy. Ain't going to be none of that. I know where she come from. She come from Magdala, don't she? Now, why you got to be letting her put her tears on your feet? What's up with that? And Lazarus got those two sisters. Why are you always in Lazarus's house? Every time you turn around, and who was that woman at the well? Don't I give you enough water to drink? At the well asking her for water. We ain't gonna have none of this. See, my mother told me about you. You ain't had no job and you ain't had no house. Talking about birds have nests, foxes have holes. I ain't got no house. I knew I shouldn't have married you. Raise a few dead people and think you a perfect husband. Ah! Jesus wasn't married. But love is the one thing that he could teach. Because he loved so much that while he was being beaten, the warring angels had formed to come and rescue him. And he looked up and said, stay up there. I have to do it for those who will come in later. And the angel inquired of God and said, how can you let him die for a bunch of people that are going to hell? And he said, how not? You see, God says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Do you know? Listen carefully. Oh, you're not ready. Paul says, let me explain to you something about love. In verse 4, he says it suffers long. That means love is patient with people. It's not patient with the actions. You can tell a person your actions are reprehensible, but I'm going to wait till you change. And the most difficult thing to realize, brothers and sisters, is that neither you or I can change anybody. Hear me. You do not go to so-called counseling to change. You go to counseling to become empowered to change. The counselor cannot change you. You don't walk out the counseling room, well, praise the Lord, I ain't going to be like this no more. No, the counselor has given you steps and has given you a list to progress so that at one day in your life you can reach an aha moment and say, hey, I don't need to do that anymore. But when it comes time to change a person, only God can change a person. When you look through the Bible, angels were sent with messages. Angels were sent on judgment assignments. Angels were sent to bring hope to people in the form of said message. But an angel never changed a person's name. They don't have that capability. God did not empower them to change your essence. Only God can change. God took Jacob, whose name meant trickster, deceiver, con man, and turned it to Israel, which meant prince with God. You're looking to change people. No, love doesn't change people. What it does is it's patient. It waits until the person changes. But here's the caveat. Here's the thing you have to be aware of. You don't want them to change to suit you. I need you to change. But that's where you are now. What's going to happen when you evolve? Then what used to please you won't please you anymore.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6218. A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.